our VIC Fellowship, and VIC stands for Vaccine Information Coalition. You're listening to Progressive Radio Network, the most listened to commercial-free and truth radio program in the world. My name is Renee, and the title of our show is What in the Cell is Going On? We're on every Monday at 2 p.m. Eastern, which can be accessed live on prn.fm or later on the front page of our vacinfo.org website. Joy Garner from the controlgroup.org and I will be continuing last week's show, discussing her plan to expose the true health of our completely unvaccinated population. Welcome once again, Joy.
Hi. Yeah, my mind was kind of a buzz this morning of things that I thought were urgent to express.
Please.
One thing is I'd like to give everyone that's listening just a quick recap in case there are new people that don't know anything about the control group yet. We are the true control group. We are studying entirely unvaccinated people. The CDC has reported that over 99% of Americans are at least partially vaccinated, and the great majority of those are actually fully up to date on all the recommended vaccines. Scary, huh? So our study, our sampling rate is already above 3,600% higher than the standards established by the CDC to obtain a 95% reliability rate in a survey. In other words, they have a certain percentage of the total target population that they survey, and it's actually 0.004%. And our sampling rate of entirely unvaccinated people is much, much higher than that. And it was easy, actually, to get that going because, according to the CDC, 0.9% or less of Americans are entirely unvaccinated. So you have a relatively small target population for your study to sample from. So our sampling rate is phenomenal already. Like I said, it's 3,600% higher than the sampling rate that the CDC says produces a 95% reliability rate. So I started kind of playing with these numbers and the number of surveys we have and realized that we've got not that far to go to reach 100%. Mm. I'm sorry, 100,000% higher reliability rate than anything being produced by the CDC or the FDA or, you know, what they call science. So now in our early surveys so far, we are seeing that, and this is maintaining. We noticed this a while back and it's maintaining. We are well under 1% of entirely unvaccinated people that have any health problems at all. So when you compare that with the national disease rates, you come to understand something. One is that obviously it doesn't take a rocket scientist to figure out what's causing most of the health problems that we're seeing in the United States today. I mean, that's just blatantly obvious. The other thing that it clarifies for all of us is that the primary mechanism for slaying us, whether you want to call it soft kill or just injury or whatever your perspective is on what they're doing to us, these are the results that we're seeing. And when you look at these differences and when you realize that less than 1% of entirely uninjected people have any health problems at all, what you realize is there's a bunch of kids running around out there that are unvaccinated that are swimming in the same goop. Because this is randomized. We're getting these surveys from all over the country, every major city, and all over the world. And so these kids are getting radiation exposure. They're getting Roundup exposure in the yards. Everybody uses it on their sidewalks. And the kids touch everything. And it probably ends up they eat some. And, of course, it's in the cereals. Even the stuff that's called organic, they're finding glyphosate in those as well. So your kid, if your child is entirely unvaccinated, they're running around in all these same assaults, cell phone towers and watching too much TV, all the things that we think of as increasing risk factors for disease, sugar, a lot of nasty things. And yet the kids that are entirely unvaccinated are skipping, waltzing through life, essentially disease-free. And the few diseases they do have tend to be extremely mild and temporary. So that's really not a disease if it's something that goes away and you're fine. So it's probably, you know, realistically, we could probably honestly say it's even much lower than 1%. But when you look at the national averages for these 99% vaccinated kids and adults, when you look at their disease rates and compare that to the entirely unvaccinated, you know, as the study grows, we could end up with a couple of percentage points higher. We don't know. We could end up with a death here or there, or a couple of cases of autism. And if that happens, Big Pharma shills will immediately announce, look, an entirely unvaccinated person has a health problem, so therefore vaccines cannot possibly cause health problems. Mm-hmm. That's their argument. And, you know, it's not going to work in front of a jury. It's just not. So something interesting that came up recently was one of these administrative process groups. They sell services where they help you put together your administrative process where you disclaim citizenship and you disclaim your birth certificate and all of these things. And I actually do know quite a bit about this. And the fact is, it's accurate. I mean, it's valid. I wish it would work, you know, because when CPS and the police show up with a court order to confiscate your children for medical neglect because you did not vaccinate them, you can show them all the self-prepared papers you want. They're going to ignore them and possibly put you in a nut house because they don't understand any of it. I'll tell you what they do understand, and that's a court order. It's got a judge's signature on it. It orders them to behave this way or that. And then the guys with the guns and the cages will do what you need them to do. And I have not given up on our judicial branch of government. And I also do not think we have enough time. So that was the argument from this administrative remedies group. Oh, don't listen to this woman. She's a fearmonger. Mm. We have all the time in the world to, and as soon as, even though it's not working yet, to save people from CPS, we have all the time in the world and to educate everyone. And once enough people are doing it and enough people are educated, then it'll work. Mm. Okay, well, I need something that works now.
Absolutely.
I think we all do. Those parents in New York that got those letters from CPS, or I'm sorry, from the schools, same difference nowadays, were told, you have exactly this many days. I think they're running out of days now. I think it's 3 days left or something. Mm-hmm. And we will report you to CPS if you have not supplied evidence of your child being completely up to date on all of their vaccines. And this includes parents who aren't even enrolling their kids in those schools next year. Mm. Because it's beyond being a matter of whether or not your child can attend school. It's beyond that now. It is now assumed in New York State that if your child is not fully up to date on their vaccines, you are guilty of medical neglect, criminal medical neglect. And the first thing that they have empowered CPS to do is to confiscate your children for no reason other than they are entirely unvaccinated. So that brings me to the next subject. I don't know if you want to comment on Bobby Kennedy's work in New York, where he attempted to get an emergency temporary order against the enforcement of these new vaccine mandates, where they have eliminated the religious exemptions. Have you got any comments on that? Have you looked at it yet?
I have not, but you did mention it, and I'd like the audience to know what you know for sure.
Okay, I'm gonna go over that then.
We're a truth radio station.
Yeah, so I studied his brief. Initially, I just scanned it, and I was kind of going off, why is he on the religious argument? I mean, I understand that this was fighting the removal of the religious exemption. So that would probably explain why he just only fought on the concept of religion. However, this battle will not ever be won on the religious argument, mm-hmm. Not under our current climate. And no matter how wrong or right it is, how the system is set up, we do currently have a system with a judicial branch of law that can rein in our legislative branch. And the fact is, the guys with the guns and the cages will follow court orders. Simple. They will do what the court orders say, and they will follow what current law says. Mm-hmm. So our attack has to be, if we want to win this quickly, which we need to, or everything's lost, our attack has to be to go into the judicial branch of law, but approach them correctly. Mm-hmm. We already know that the religious argument is a failed argument. It will not work. Yep. If that is all you're going into, and I scoured Bobby's brief on this attempt to get an emergency order for the New York parents, and I could not find a single piece of evidence indicating, even suggesting, that vaccines aren't good for us. And which was so bizarre, it was mind-blowing to me, because he has so much evidence. He's personally compiled so much evidence. He has mm-hmm. access to such powerful witnesses and documentation. And, I mean, I don't understand it, but, you know, like I said, the whole thing was fighting the elimination of the religious exemptions. So maybe because of the way he was approaching it in that instance, he felt he had no option but to just simply stick to the religious argument. But of course, as expected, it failed, and it will continue to fail no matter where or how you argue it, because the instant comeback is always science trumps religion. Science trumps religion. Well, they don't really get to do that one on us in our lawsuit this fall to obtain a nationwide injunction against vaccine mandates, because they don't have any science.
Right.
They really don't. No, they have no science to rebut or in any way disprove what the evidence is that we're bringing. And the reason they have no evidence is they've never once studied the health of entirely unvaccinated people. So what the hell have they got to say about it?
That's right.
They're not experts on the health of unvaccinated people, are they? Do they have any documentation concerning entirely unvaccinated people? No. Zero, zilch. Nada. You're out of here. Mm-hmm. Now, they can try to tear apart our study and say, mm-hmm. well, it wasn't scientific enough. They can chip away at it and try to break down the jury's willingness to see it as credible. But what's your guess? When the jury's seeing that they've never even studied unvaccinated people, and the reason that they've refused to do so is obvious. I mean, it is. It's obvious. They don't want the data on entirely unvaccinated people, and the jury's going to know exactly why. Mm-hmm. Probably before we get around to trying to explain it to them, they'll have it figured out. And that's the beauty of doing it in this way. We're bypassing so much of the control grid. I'm amazed at how many really well-meaning people have tried to warn me, you better do your study and your surveys exactly how pharma tells you to. Mm. Otherwise, it will be worth it nothing, because they confuse getting published in a 95% pharma-funded rag mag journal. They confuse that with the federal rules of evidence. They don't know there's a distinction. They do not know there's a big difference. And so that takes a little while to straighten out for people. And I've been to a couple more mini rallies. We are still getting surveys in, but I'm going to have to bump this up a little, because if I want to meet the goals that we've got for the, you know, 100,000% higher reliability rate than anything that's been put out by the CDC, well, that's a tall order, even though it's achievable. And I really need more people to get involved here, spread the word about this, and do everything they can to make sure we get more surveys in. And also to go to our website, thecontrolgroup.org, and communicate directly with me. If you go there and you fill out the form thing, I will be the one writing to you. It's sort of like a form response mail when you just sign up for our newsletter. But I see who you are. If you've asked a question, I answer it. I answer all of these emails. So anyone that wants to know how they can help or get involved in this, please go to thecontrolgroup.org.
Absolutely. Have you contacted the chiropractic community by chance?
When you go to the very top of these organizations, what you find is that they have limits to the official positions that they're willing to take for their whole organization on things like vaccines. In other words, they try to stay a little bit at the very top of their organizations. They try to stay a little bit neutral and not overly excite the medical community against them. So that's kind of what I'm seeing at the top of these organizations. However, what I am finding is there's some very large chiropractic practices that are just thrilled at what we're doing and that are helping. So I've got a couple of chiropractors in across the country that are sending me regular envelopes. Like they'll see patients and they've got the surveys there and they'll say, hey, do you want to fill this out real quick? And when they get a few piled up, they'll put them in an envelope and send them to me. So, and they also send them to me for their own family and, you know, whenever they stumble on someone else. And so I actually get a lot of return envelopes that have a chiropractic office name on them.
Yeah.
And, you know, a little icon. And that's really exciting to me. There's a lot more work to be done with what time we have left. I think we're going to probably end up extending the length of this survey, even though it is so urgent to get into federal court. We've got to go in fully prepared so that it's just a knockdown, one punch, boom, we're done. We got the orders we need. If we go in even slightly unprepared, that might not happen for us. And we don't know how hard it could be to get ourselves positioned to get another crack at this. So, right. Again, everyone that can hear my voice right now, please go to thecontrolgroup.org. See what you can do to help. Write to me at that website. So what's going on in your sphere? Any interesting new stories or concerns about what we're doing? Questions?
Well, what I was just thinking is I have contacts with chiropractors. I've actually been doing, you know, presentations with chiropractors for 20 years now. So I'm going to get on my phone and get my contact list and start calling them because I know their children are not vaccinated as well. Most chiropractors know not to do it. And my concern is with what they're doing in New York, for instance, you know, we've got to get into the federal court before they do that in every state, because obviously New York, California, you know, the next state, that was just to get the ball rolling, obviously. And many, many people are going to succumb to doing it to keep their children or whatever. So we definitely need to get this going, and I'm going to be contacting, I'm not even sure if my children have gone on. Can I do it for my children? Even the adults?
Yeah. Okay, even if children are grown. I have one grandma. Who had 10 children that were grown, and many of them had started their own families. Mm. And she was the survey manager that worked with supplying all the data, because she's close with all of her kids and their kids. She knows which kids have health problems. She's very involved in her children's lives and her grandchildren's lives. So she provided a huge stack of surveys because they are a continuation, three generations now, of entirely unvaccinated, which is incredibly rare. And as you might be suspecting, the health problems, 0000 all throughout.
Yep. Yeah. Yeah, so, I have a friend also, Dr. Jackie Gotts, also, who wrote a book I have in my thing here, in my cupboard here, called God is My Healer, and she also is three generations of no vaccinations, and that's her whole book saying how they have never even had a cavity. I mean, literally no cavities even. Wow. So I'll contact her as well, because she had just asked me to be down at an event she did the end of last month, but I wasn't able to make it. But anyway, we're very close, and I'll definitely give her a call and many others that I have contacts with. And get them reaching other people. Because like you said, at the top of everything, unfortunately, you know, the powers that be have somebody there to stop what we want to do.
Well, they're putting the fear in every organization out there.
Yeah.
That they just better not touch this subject, or else there's some fear there, and oftentimes it's tangible and immediate. You know, I know that Mike Adams was thrown off of Facebook. 3 million followers. Mm-hmm. It took a long time to build all of this. And, you know, he would talk about how much these things can help your health and how so many different pharmaceuticals were dangerous and destructive. But, you know, I strongly suspect that it was maybe his growing aggression in his reporting against the vaccines and pointing out how dangerous those are that was probably their biggest concern. And finally, they just pulled the plug on it.
Yeah, he just did it. I don't know if you saw the recent one he did on vaccine Holocaust.
I just watched it
yesterday. Oh, that was amazing.
I told him off on the comments on that.
Did you?
Yeah. Well, I mean, he's telling the truth. I mean, everything's accurate.
Right.
There's nothing fear-mongering about telling the truth about what's going
exactly.
on. What I didn't like was that it finished with just sort of a, you know what, it's hopeless. You know, get ready to, like, maybe you can live a little longer if you hide in a hole kind of thing. Like, next they're going to do this, next they're going to do that. And, you know, it's true, everything he said. They will do this, and then they will do that. And they're coming for every last one of us, and it is a Holocaust. It is actually depopulation. And so I don't take issue with any of that. Him informing people of these things, I think that's imperative. However, I don't think it's useful to tell people that it's hopeless and not give them some idea of a way they can fight it. I mean, now is the time that people need to have hope that they can fight this. Because if you can convince everybody that it's hopeless, then we've already lost.
Yeah.
And that's kind of the way evil speaks.
Mm.
Despair, hopelessness, loss. You know, if you believe it's already lost, why would you take up arms? Why would you fight? It's hopeless. So it's because I have hope that I'm doing what I'm doing. And I don't like the voices that are as similar to Hannibal Lecter in the adjoining cell.
Yeah.
You know, remember the scene where it's like, whoa, the guy killed himself? Yeah, we heard Hannibal was whispering to him all night, you know. And that's how you get people to that point, is you tell them that it's hopeless.
Yeah.
That demotivates them so that even if they don't kill themselves, they don't bother trying to turn things around because they believe it's hopeless. Well, guess what, folks? It's not hopeless. These pharma people are not actually gods.
Right.
And can win this. We do still have a branch of government to address. We don't have, there doesn't have to be bloodshed yet to resolve this. Of course, if our judicial branch refuses to protect our very lives and the survival of this nation, well, you know, gloves are off. Who knows what happens next, but it'll probably be bloody. However, why are we thinking in those terms before we've properly addressed the judicial branch of government with the whole truth?
Yep.
And that's the other thing, the whole truth. When you look at all the legal efforts that have been made previous to this, you don't see that. I'm not sure I understand fully why none of the lawyers who are actually going after the vaccine mandates, trying to put a stop to them, don't tell the whole truth. I don't understand why they don't do that. They pussyfoot around and argue from this angle or that angle, but they don't, you know, dive in head first with the entire truth. The fact that the vaccine programs are the number one threat to our national security at this point. They are imminently threatening the survival of our nation. And that truth needs to be told to a judge on a bench and a jury. Because even if the judge could destroy your case and might otherwise want to. If you approach the judge correctly with the correct information, that judge is going to recognize pretty quickly that his position on that bench is no more secure than our lives if these programs continue. In other words, without the assets of the U.S. corporation, which is us, the slaves of the U.S. corporation, without those slaves, he doesn't have a job.
That's right.
So let the slaves just live, please. And we'll work out the whole slavery, tax and debt slavery thing later. But can we just like survive for now to fight those other battles? And when you're looking at administrative law, where they're not, there's these inexplicable rulings where people think, well, that sounds like it's against the Constitution, the way that judge ruled. And yet you're unable to get it overturned. It's because they were approaching the court from the perspective of, I want justice. Well, that's not how administrative law works. It's commercial law. And so we're coming from a commercial point of view, the destruction of the U.S. corporation that these judges work for.
Excellent.
Do they support it, or do they want to save the corporation that pays them? And I really honestly think that's the only argument that's going to get a judge to do the right thing here. And fortunately, because we'll have a jury, there will be at least some limit to how badly a crooked judge who doesn't want to do the right thing can screw us up. We still have a really good shot at getting orders that our country needs right now in order for our nation to survive this Holocaust and turn it around, stop the damage, and get busy being full-time healing army people, where that becomes our focus. Wouldn't you love that?
Yep,
if we were worried about the damage continuing and we could just, okay, now we can take all our energy and pour it into healing all this damage.
I know.
I mean, I would love that to be my full-time job. Unpaid, just that's my mission and that's my life, and I don't care if I have to sleep on a dirt floor.
Right.
If my life can have that level of meaning, I'm going to be the happiest person alive. You know, I mean, sure, I'm still going to suffer the compassion and the agony of knowing how many people have been injured and how much suffering there is, and that's unavoidable. But on the you know, the flip side of that is to know that your life has meaning, that you're actually here for some reason. I mean, talk about a huge adventure, right?
I mean, fighting this fight for 20 years now since Casey's passing, I've never had anyone come to me with your approach, and it's brilliant. It's absolutely brilliant. Oh, I told you from the very beginning, yeah. And I know that Father has anointed you and molded you to do this piece, such an important piece, because like you're saying, you know, same with my whole presentation and what I've been doing ever since Casey passed away, they belong in the garbage can. It's not just the mercury. It's not just the MMR vaccine. It's the poison. It's bypassing our body's natural defenses. You know, Father gives us fever, vomiting, diarrhea. If it comes through the methods of exposure, nose and mouth, that's how our Creator designed for us to be exposed to something, bypasses all that straight to the bloodstream. And I've tried to tell so many people, including NVIC Barbara Fisher, when she came to one of our rallies in front of the Capitol, that we're trying to protect the drug companies from liability after the 9/11, the Homeland Security Bill, and the Bioshield Bill. She came to our second rally, and, you know, I'm like, Barbara, you need to jump over that fence you've been walking for so long. Too many babies are being injured. And that just shows all the way to now, the 20 years I've been speaking truth, the whole truth and nothing but the truth, that they belong in the garbage can, they're blood poisoning, the life of the flesh is in the blood. But people still take that, you know, I guess it's to be politically correct or whatever their reasoning is, it's not working. So obviously,
I've already had people try to correct me on the extreme views I hold, right?
Yeah.
Like, for instance, you know, the brain damage actually being, you know, autism is just a form of brain damage. It's not genetic. I don't care what they're telling you. It's not genetic. So I've had people say, well, you know, to appeal to a broader spectrum of brainwashed zombies, you must pretend that you agree with the concept of vaccination in general. And just say, well, we want safer vaccines. And okay, so I should lie. That's what you want me to lie. Okay, whatever. That's a different game. I'm not into that. You want me to knowingly, willfully lie. I'm not willing to do that. And guess what? It's not going to work in front of a jury anyway. Yeah. A jury's not going to believe you. If on the one hand you say, I like vaccines, and then you go, but they're killing our kids, and there's not a single example of them actually helping public health. When you actually look at the numbers, they only make public health worse. That doesn't really jive with someone who's sitting there going, but I like vaccines. I just want them to be safer. Exactly. You know, I'm not going to talk that way because it would be a lie. And to me, that is not only unethical, but it's a failing argument. You can't sit in front of a jury and put evidence in front of them that something is killing as many kids as vaccines are and injuring as many kids as vaccines are and say that you're okay with this. Because what then would be the solution if they're okay, but if they just made them safer? Oh, the same genocidal maniacs that have been producing our vaccine supply will come back tomorrow and tell us, okay, here's your safer ones. And we're going to trust that they're safe now. Now, we've got an FDA that still maintains that glyphosates don't cause cancer and that it's perfectly safe. Insane. Even though there's been this $2 billion judgment and everyone knows better. And the Moms Across America proved that they were actually adding the glyphosates to every single vaccine that they tested. And they've tested 15 so far. There hasn't been a single one that it wasn't in. And the one that was highest concentrated glyphosate was the MMR shot. And so there does seem to be extra damage with that shot. But there's damage with all of the shots. There's not a single shot that's actually been proven safe.
Or three live viruses.
Yeah, or even been proven. There's not a single vaccine that's even been proven to have a rare risk factor for problems. The only way to prove, okay, rare is an adjective. No, it's not. What is it? It's a descriptive of something that is entirely unsubstantiated. So if you come to my casino. And you ask, well, what are the odds on this game or roulette or whatever? And I say, well, rare. Or you call your bookie, and I want to bet on this horse. That, you know, it's numbers that establish what the risks are or what the odds are. And we don't have any numbers from pharma. And they can't produce any numbers because they've never studied a true control to compare against the people that get vaccinated with one or all of the vaccines. What we're doing is we're saying, well, we're not going to try to get caught up in the minutia of which shot was it. Oh, play the shell in the pee in the shell game, the shell game. No. Which shot was it? And which ingredient was it in which shot? And what exactly did it do? And all of that.
And
no.
How sick was the animal they used to make the vaccine? What batch?
Yeah, was it a monkey or what? Fetus or what? What did they use? And why is my kid sick now? How about just really simple, which is what we're doing. You have entirely unvaccinated here. You have vaccinated here. What's the difference in their health?
That's right.
Real simple. Yep. Anyone can understand these numbers.
Yep.
And numbers they are.
Yep.
Numbers that are pointing to the fact that at a minimum, if your child gets vaccinated, they run a 54% or higher risk of cancer, which, by the way, is the leading cause of death by disease in children in America now. Mm. Whereas just a few decades ago, it was almost unheard of in children. Now it's leading cause of
just to throw something in for anybody not knowing this, Congressman Dan Burton in the early 90s proved that they were finding cancer SV40 simian virus number 40, meaning the 40th monkey virus found in cancer tumors. You won't find an unvaccinated person with cancer. It doesn't happen. Yeah,
that's what we're coming up with so far on the entirely unvaccinated. There's no cancers.
Exactly.
I mean, I'm sure one or two might pop up, but right now we're not seeing any. So, So 54% chance your kid's going to have get cancer. Might take years, might happen in a year, but cancer or some other disability, brain damage, epilepsy, diabetes, allergies, life-threatening allergies, asthma, seizure disorders. I mean, the list just goes on, and every one of these diseases is now affecting our children at epidemic levels. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, what sane parent, if they were actually given the numbers, here's the number of the risk factor, mm-hmm. what sane parent would choose any risk of cancer or any one of these diseases?
Right.
Over measles. Like, oh, no, I can't let my child get measles, but I'm pretty much okay with a 54% chance of either cancer or brain damage or maybe a combination of the two, life-threatening allergies, asthma, all this other stuff. There are not – and so that's why we need numbers. And when we put our numbers up there, they don't have any numbers. When I say they, pharma, legislative branch of government that's pushing this on us, et cetera, and our public health agencies – they don't have any numbers. They have no numbers. They've never studied this.
Yep.
So how do they produce a number to counter ours? They don't.
They can't. Yeah.
So their big cover-up operation, the big cover-up operation that's been going on for decades now, is actually going to be used against them.
Awesome. Yep. That's the only thing we can do. Only thing we can do is exactly what you're doing. Like I said, for 20 years now, nobody's came up with the idea you have, but they haven't been molded to do what you do as well. I mean, like you have.
It took a very particular life course for me.
Yep.
A very painful one, actually, for me to learn the things that I know now about legal process and also to have the confidence in and of myself to say, you know what, I don't care if I look like a fool. I really don't care what anyone thinks. What I care about is getting an order from a judge that has what we need on it.
Yeah.
That's all I care about. I don't care how many people tear me down, criticize me, make fun of me, or if I slip and pee my pants in front of everybody. I don't care. What I care about is that we get to a solution.
Yep.
You know, even if I get scandalized or even drugged behind a car and killed, not that I prefer that, but if that's what it takes to get to a solution, I'm all there, man. I mean, literally today, if someone said, look, we'll get you your court ordered and it'll definitely be there to protect everyone from this, if you would be willing to let us tie you to the back of a pickup truck and head down the freeway, I would freaking do it.
Yeah.
Because my grandkids are at stake.
That's right.
And everything I love and everything that makes life worth living in this country, we're losing it right now. I go to a party, a birthday party for my granddaughter. She's unvaccinated and just bursting with health and energy. Very, very fit and beautiful. And there are other kids there that are wrecked. And she can't even play with them. I mean, she does anyway, but some of them don't know how to get on a swing or open a present or talk. And she's looking over at me. My granddaughter's very smart and she knows what's going on because her unvaccinated friends, which is a very small select group of friends she has, are just like her. They're able to do all kinds of things. They're not sick all the time. They're not having to see the doctor every other day.
Yep.
They don't have to take pills. They don't generally have big, thick glasses, and they're not generally massively overweight or underweight or, yep. you know, dying of some horrible thing. They don't have epilepsy. And they generally can talk, you know. But she's not – she's getting crowded in. More and more that there are less activities she can engage in in the world, even just having a birthday party, where some of these severely injured kids aren't part of the deal. And we include them, we love them, we wish we could find a way to get them well. And we're trying on that level. But some of the people that are parents of these injured children, some of these parents, will argue with you that it had nothing to do with the shots. And so therefore there's no cure, and their doctor says there's no cure. So no. And it's devastating. A lot of single parents out there with injured children, I'm noticing that I keep hearing this really similar story with relatives of mine, or even my still single daughter, the one that's still single, is that she'll meet guys and they've got a vaccine injured child, severely brain damaged, wasn't born that way. And they can't find anyone that wants to come home with them and actually build a life together.
Wow.
Because maybe the other parent fled, they couldn't take it. Mm-hmm. And then the good parent who said, okay, I've got no choice, I've got to take care of this child, they stayed with the child, they kept the child, and they're hoping to find a mate to share the burden with. Mm-hmm. And it's a tough sell for a single parent. It's a really tough sell. Yeah, come live with me and we'll marry, and then we can never retire because this kid is going to need us when they're 45. They're still going to be pooping in the bed. They're never going to move out. How do you sell that one?
That's right.
Mm-hmm. It's not an easy sell. I mean, some people just go for it and they go, I don't care what the future brings. I love you and I love your kids no matter what. But, you know, it's easy to understand why some people don't make that choice. Mm. And just say, you know, even though I'm in love with you, I can't. That can't be my future.
Take that responsibility.
Yeah. It's,
you know, definitely a child forever.
When you grow to love a child, even if it's not biologically, or you grow, you bond with a child, you live with them, you grow to love them.
That's right.
And no matter what, you're probably not going to be able to wrench yourself away from caring what happens to them. Even if you're 60 and your body's starting to wear down and you'd like a little break now and then.
Mm-hmm. You won't have it.
No. Mm-hmm. No. Mm.
Devastating. So
we can stop this. We can stop this. And we're going into court to do it. Mm. And then we can devote 100% of our time to just fixing the damage. And that's the beautiful part of this story, is that there are so many amazing things people are doing now that are reversing full-blown autism.
Absolutely.
I mean, just and the list is just a mile long, how many different ways there are to do this. Mm-hmm. However, pharma doesn't want us to know about them because they don't get to charge for any of them, and most of them are relatively inexpensive.
Yeah.
Some of them you can grow in your garden, make in your kitchen. Maybe some supply you could buy at REI. Like, what is that? That chlorine dioxide that they're lying and saying that it's, oh, these people are feeding their autistic children bleach. It's just ridiculous that you can buy this stuff at REI. It's totally safe. It's chlorine dioxide. It's stabilized in a way that chlorine bleach is not. And it's harmless. It doesn't hurt you. And it corrects some of the problems going on in the gut. And the Autism One conference, one of the recent ones that I saw, showed just tremendous success. They were so excited about it that they held an entire conference just on using chlorine dioxide.
Wow.
And that's just one of many things. I mean, you keep searching. The main thing that pharma wants us to stop doing is searching.
Mm.
They don't want us even, so they go, no, this is all genetic. You can't fix it, so don't bother. And here's another prescription to deal with the symptoms. And I actually had a conversation with a mother that was pretty awake. She's got a 15-year-old daughter that's severely brain damaged from vaccines. So she's awake enough to know that it was the vaccines. The kid was born normal. And when I talked to her about the chlorine dioxide, she actually got a little bit scared. She said, yeah, but I would have to take her off of all these doping medications that keep her under control.
Mm. Gosh.
To even see if the stuff was working.
Unbelievable.
And here's and she said and she said, I'm scared that if I partly heal her, she'll have enough strength to beat the crap out of everyone in the family. Mm. Because that was the type of damage she suffered that made her go crazy and become extremely violent. So they just give her these pharmaceuticals that just keep her half comatose. Otherwise, nobody in the house is safe.
That's crazy.
And so I don't even know what to say to a woman like that. I started crying on the phone and saying, oh, honey, you know, that is so terrible. What? Okay, maybe try to heal her and keep her on the meds while you're healing her and then test it out while she's in a cage now and then to take her off of the meds to see if it helped. Or, I mean, I was trying to come up with a strategy that might work in her circumstance, but this is, I'm furious with the people doing this to us.
I know.
And I say us because I mean Americans.
I know.
You know, I know there are a lot of Americans out there that are still trusting Big Pharma. They're still trusting their doctors. They're still trusting what they see on TV. And I'm just horrified for them because I was that person not too long ago.
That's right.
I mean, I got to be honest. I never trusted vaccines.
Really?
And home births. But I still got a couple of tetanus shots when I was a teenager.
Wow.
It just was so ordinary. Oh, you're in for stitches. They just poke it in before they even tell you what they're doing or ask for your permission. Mm. They just do it, you know.
They do.
And I'll never know what things I'm still going to have to face in old age because of that. You know, I do have a little touch of arthritis starting up.
You got to do our cleanse. What's that? We got to do our cleanse. We're actually starting this week, actually. We're going to start on Friday. Our juice fast. It'll be 3 juices a day. The cleanse is not necessarily just juicing, but we have decided to just do a juice fast for the whole 21 days. I've done it once before, and I could not believe the results. Okay. I could not. My eyesight even got sharper from that cleanse, and I was blown away. I was blown away because not only did I have energy, I mean, I was literally, my son was doing the cleanse with us for the second time when he was 17, and we were just doing the juice fast, and I was making them salads and everything. We were riding 4 miles on bicycles with the boys to the gym, working out with weights, which I did not have to compromise my strength, which I thought I would, just juicing.
Wow, while you were...
Working out with weights and everything, and to show you how the brain plays such a role, because you can literally temporarily not eat, and that is the deepest cleanse, is by just giving the leaves of the trees to the cells, But in our manual, we say that you can start eating the third night raw food as well, around 2 juices, taking the products and stuff. But anyway, to show you how the brain plays a role, after about 5 days when I started the cleanse, because our cleanse is 21 days, because first week the fluid, second week the organs, it doesn't get to the cellular level until the third week. And after about 5 days, when my body realized I was not going to feed it, I stopped feeling hungry. Because your brain plays a big role. And then when my son and I started talking about the 18th day, we started talking about which organic restaurant we wanted to go have our first meal the evening of the 21st day. And do you know, that's when I started starving and my stomach started growling. Just to show you how the brain plays that role. But you can temporarily not eat. And, you know, like you even said, you know, you're getting the arthritis, you know, or you're starting to feel something, you know, compounding toxicities, compounding insufficiencies. So that's why the cleanse is so important, to strip the liver, the kidney, the gallbladder, the lymph, the blood, a heavy metal chelator. It's so important. So we have a 9 product system that my husband developed that does all that. And then you're also, it's like trying to eat a meal with your hand over your mouth. Our cells are caked with vaccines, what we've been eating and breathing and drinking our whole life. I mean, literally, compounding toxicities. Our scanner, our quantum Scio body scanner, actually shows dehydration in people that drink gallons of water a day sometime. But what they're doing is that the water's bouncing off the cell, and they're just urinating it out. They're not absorbing as much as they could if they did the cleanse. So what our cleanse does is takes that hand out from over the cells, takes the film that it's been, you know, accumulating its their whole life, and stripping the cells. And then you're given the leaves of the trees and the live enzymes and the raw food. I mean, we have a guy just recently met at a pool, Joy, that had diabetes, He did our cleanse, him and his wife. And do you know, not only is his diabetes gone, but also his hair started growing back.
Oh,
when
wow.
I saw him, he's like, you see this? Wow. This hasn't been here for 30 years. So the body, we have people that tell us their hair color starts coming back because you're feeding life to the cells. The body's made up of cells. And when they malfunction, we malfunction. You know, it's like the lady you were just talking about, putting the baby on pharmaceutical drugs, and they're already injured by the vaccinations, and then now they're putting synthetic pharmaceuticals into the baby. I mean, come on.
Well, but, you know, feel like they're in a corner.
I know.
And once you're in that corner, they kind of rope the dope on you and
fit
off with the rest of their poisons. It is interesting that you find that the human body is already, our DNA is already the most intelligent DNA on planet Earth. It, on a cellular level, it has more defenses and novel approaches to healing from and recovering from and correcting from any number of assaults than any other life form on the planet. So, I mean, we're not just intelligent from what we can see with our brain and we made cars and all that. On a cellular level, we are more intelligent. We're actually really effing hard to kill.
That's right. We're
not fragile. Right. We're tougher.
That's right.
And so that is why they need repeated injections.
That's right. Let's get your website again because we got to close now. We can continue on again. I mean, we could talk forever, Joy. I just love you. I mean, I trust
you. I'm going to talk to you right after the show. I have something I want to.
Definitely give me a call. So let me do the closing statement. Give me a call. We'll talk about next week.
All right.
Everyone, thank you for listening. You're listening to Vic Fellowship, and our shows can be accessed on the front page of our backinfo.org website. Joy's website is thecontrolgroup.org. Our website on the little boy on the front page flexing his muscles, you'll see the archive button if you choose to watch it. We're on every Monday at 2 o'clock. Our toll-free number is 800-939-8227. If you have any questions about today's show, please call the voicemail line 862-800-6805. Leave your name, your question, and let them know it's for our What in the Cell is Going On radio show. We thank Progressive Radio Network for allowing us to give you this uncompromised truth. And y'all bless.